Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to the Coaching Coordinator Podcast. We have our monthly check-in today with Cody Alexander, the Coach A on Twitter. There's an underscore in there somewhere. We'll give it to you later. But Cody does a great job with his website Match Quarters and been on here a couple times. Cody, it's always great to have you back to talk some ball.
You bet. Always fun.
Cody, today we're going to focus on the self-scout. And you know, when you look at self-scouting your past season, it could be a daunting task. It really starts with understanding exactly where should you start. So when you're looking at breaking down your past season, what kind of things are you looking at?
Definitely want to start out with what were the explosive plays. Usually put any kind of run, and it depends on coach, but any kind of run over 10 yards, 10 to 12 is usually that, anything over that. And then tracking your explosive passes, which is passes over 15 to 20 yards. I tend to go longer, like, and it's not completing the pass over 10 yards, but passes that get that gain yards,
right,
20 yards or more, because what, you know, I like to do that, and that really gives you an idea of like some deficiencies. I like a third down pass tape. If you're not looking what you're doing on third down against the pass, then you're kind of late. Motion tape is real good. And then breaking down all of your different formations that you saw, just kind of putting them in groupings and sorting them. And I think the sorting part is the key. You know, doing it's one thing, but then making sure that you sort it correctly is also key to making sure that you get a nice flow and you kind of see what's going on and how teams are attacking you.
I think done right, either side of the ball, the self-scout is going to give you a lot of detail. And I know back when I was at Baldwin Wallace, we would put it together and have these, you know, have the thing spiral bound. Like, we had a whole report out of it, probably, I don't know, 1.5, 2 inches thick, that we would give to every coach. And we were looking at all those different things to find some trends in what we were doing, to find some deficiencies in what we were doing. And then from there, you go into even more detective work on exactly why those things are happening. But when I look at it, I think the explosive play, especially on defense, tells you a lot about maybe where you are deficient. Because I know the more explosive plays you have in a drive, the better chances of scoring. I mean, it goes up drastically with just one. Your chances of scoring when there's one explosive play in a series goes to like 77% of getting points on the board. So those are things you certainly want to avoid. But I think they're also, like you said, it doesn't necessarily have to be that pass over certain yardage. It's the play that gets that yardage, and it starts to tell you something about what might be some deficiency in what you guys were doing, either from a scheme standpoint or sometimes even more from a technique standpoint.
Yeah, the biggest glaring thing for me this year was, you know, I have a field and boundary corner, but I had gotten to the point where I was like, well, they're both pretty good. I'll let them, you know, during games, I'll let them not switch. Well, it became really evident as soon as my field corner got into the boundary, teams were taking shots. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on one hit look at it throughout the year, you probably don't notice that. And then you put it in at the end, and you're like, oh, man. You know, how did I not see this? You know, I need to make sure. And I knew towards the end of the year, like, I really got to make sure my boundary corner is in the boundary. And it was pretty evident. And so going to that and seeing that, the explosive pass tape, it just really highlighted, man, when my boundary corner, if he got stuck to the field, teams knew it and they were taking advantage of it. And so finding ways to be able, when we get stuck in that, and especially versus 3-by-1, how can I help support the boundary, you know, corner in that when they get caught like that? Can we check into something? How can we do that? Or even working on certain techniques, maybe moving a position for a kid, finding something else. I mean, for me, that was kind of the glaring thing from this year that I saw, was just like, man, when my – and sometimes it was was because of packages. Like when my boundary corner left the boundary, it was like it was game on for teams trying to, you know, take shots down the field into the boundary.
When you look at this process of putting all this information together for your coaches, as well as what you guys are going to do, especially from the idea of checks, I've been hearing more and more coaches really trying to get out of really only having one check for something, because offenses are getting pretty good at identifying that and knowing these guys only have one answer for us. What kind of data do you look for? What are the things that start to pop in terms of identifying where an offense or offenses over the course of the season are trying to take advantage of certain things?
Well, I mean, I think it starts with how you self-scout each game. So when you're going back in after the game, are you going in and making sure the call sheet matches up with what you've got? And then from there, building throughout the year, what are all of your calls? You know, and kind of creating a file where you have all your calls, or it put in, what are your 5-man pressures? What are your 6-man pressures? Where are your all outs? And keeping track of those as you go through, and being able to keep track of that as you go. You know, some people don't have a bye week in their season, so it's kind of hard to stop mid season and do a self scout. For us, our schedule was backloaded, not front loaded. So doing a midseason self scout really wasn't going to be beneficial to us. We still did it, kind of looked at some things, but all of our main opponents were at the back end of the schedule. So really that looking at it, kind of that time you have before the playoffs, what are teams looking at? That was crucial, and being able to have that information already there and put in. And I know it's time consuming, but being able to really go back in and make sure that your calls are all there and the formations are broken down, even if it's just simple as 3-by-1, you know, 2-by-2, and being able to then take that and make something cut up so that you can see how efficient you are against certain formations. I think that's important, is that if you do it early and make it a habit, by the time you get to the end of the season, it's already built in there for you.
I know the game, in terms of what we look at the college level, it's a lot of matching personnel. How much do you guys get into looking at the personnel group that's on the field for the offense? And I'm not sure what you guys do, if you do try to match personnel, maybe what that personnel group is doing for you guys defensively.
Yeah, we really try. I mean, the biggest difference for me working at college football, especially at the FBS level, and then moving to the high school level, is that you just don't see personnel packages. High schools, they have what they have. I think at the bigger level, especially here in Texas, like the big 6A schools, they may have different personnel groups. And so then you can really focus on, okay, is this 11 personnel? Is this 20 personnel? Is this 10 personnel? Okay, the fullback's now on here, or the H-back, they're blocking tight end, or do they have a pass? I think at the larger school levels, or if you get a team that has enough guys to do it, then you can switch. But what I've found the easiest way to do it is just break it down by what personnel group would it be by that formation. So do they have two backs in the backfield? Even if one's a sniffer, you know, I still call that 20 personnel. If he's off the ball, if the tight end's off the ball, I'm calling it 20. If he's on the ball, we're calling it 11. Just so you could have some sort of way to break it down, so that you know different, and then as you go, it's, you know, I think it's important for staff to sit down and say, okay, what are we calling things? How are we going to formulate it? And I'm a big divide and conquer guy. You know, huddle makes that really easy for everybody, but you got to know too, when I'm breaking down formations, or if I'm breaking down the runs, I got to be able to know what the formation is and have it sorted. I'm a true believer in, you need to make sure that the formations are done first before you ever start looking at the plays. Being able to sort it by formation, so that way you can really see what a team's starting to do. Because as you start breaking it down by run pass, you can see, oh, when they get in this, they really like power. When the sniffer's over here, they really like counter. And so you almost get it, a sense of the breakdown. And so that way the person that's breaking it down can come back in just offhand without even looking at data and saying, hey, when they get in this, we know we're going to get this. And I think that's kind of the best way to do it.
I know a long time ago I heard Rich Rodriguez talking about answer sheets, right, on the offensive side of the ball. One of the things they did in the offseason would be come up with what they would call their answer sheets, knowing that, okay, when we see this opponent, typically this is what we're going to see defensively, and these are going to be our answers. And certainly you have to account for change in personnel, and that's both at the college level, at the high school level. Those things might change, but I think you start to get an initial idea or at least a base game plan of what you might expect from that team going into there. Do you guys prepare that type of information?
Yeah, we don't necessarily have like an answer sheet, but we do have an idea. I mean, obviously, I'm a big proponent in the hit chart. If anybody's ever followed me or the site, I've talked about hit charts a lot. You know, creating something to where you visually are looking at the formation, just a one shot of what that formation looks like and what they're doing out of it. That way you kind of have, that way when you're formulating a plan for that week, you can go through and say, okay, here's our stop calls, or here's our base calls. Are they going to work versus this? Is this what we need? I think you defend the formation first, and then you figure out, okay, well, what plays are they doing out of this? And then that's kind of what you evolve to, because some things aren't going to work that you normally do. You know, they're not going to work versus a certain opponent, so you need to have something else. And so that's kind of how you do it. And the nice thing is going back to the whole self scout part is, you know, you go back and you say, okay, well, whenever somebody went empty, we kind of ran this. It goes back to what you said without, you know, don't have just one check, you know, have like a hot, warm, and a cold to, you know, I think empty is one of those that people usually have one thing that they do.
Yeah.
You know, first time they get an empty, it's what we're doing. Second time they get an empty, maybe we just play base. And I think, you know, you got to have, to be multiple like that, you got to understand how, you know, and you got to be able to physically see yourself only do one thing. You know, oh man, every time that we do this, teams are taking advantage of it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I know for a long time, three things I constantly wanted to make sure I had in the game plan and would understand what we were going to get against it, because we'd usually get one thing. Empty was one. Formation into the boundary was another, and then bunch would be the third set, a tight bunch set, not a wide bunch set, but a tight compressed bunch set that, you know, we couldn't pretty much ensure we were going to get certain things out of that defense. So those were kind of things we wanted to make sure we had in the game plan, because we knew what we could plan in that part of the attack.
Yeah, and so that goes back to being able to understand your defense structure and how teams are going to do that. So that goes back to the whole self-scout concept of understanding, because we run this, we're going to get this. Because this is our adjustment to that, this is now what's going to happen next. And that's why I think in the modern game, defensive coaches, you have to understand offense. The offensive gut coaches are that's one of the things that they're always trying to do is understanding coverage. What, okay, if I get this coverage, this is how I attack, kind of the if then scenarios. Well, you know, we've got to have that on the defensive side as well. If I'm getting this, or if I'm running this, I've got to know that these are the plays that I'm probably going to get, and then be able to anticipate that for them.
Cody, I know one thing I look for week in and week out, and we would spend a lot of time in the off season putting this together as well, would be to look for coverage indicators. And what was it in a defense that was going to give your quarterback some clues pre-snap as to what you're going to end up in? I'm wondering if you've given that any thought as far as looking for ways to take away those indicators. Because a lot of times the way defenses have been structuring it, and, you know, I did this work with a quarterback this past season, is we could find the one guy in a defense and key on where he was going to be and just look at that guy to give us everything. Have you thought at all at finding ways to be able to change up, you know, the guy who might give that away?
Yeah, I'm big on no pre-snap reads. I mean, I want my kids to look the exact same, whether we're running two read, we're running quarters, trips. I want it to look the exact same. I don't want people to move until it's post snap. I think that's the key nowadays as a defense, is that you've got to manipulate ways that you look the same on every snap. That's why I used to, I used to be a big proponent of the press quarters, but once you do that, you kind of do it. So now you have what I like to do is just back them up a little bit, almost like a super soft press. So they don't know if we're running two read or we're running quarters. If I press, are we locking it? Are we bailing it? So now they're in the guesswork. So I think instead of doing, I'm always going to run this and then manipulating off of that, is having several different ways that you can get your kids to change the look, but also be static at the same time, where they're always going to kind of line up. My biggest compliment is when the defensive coordinator is watching 7-on-7 practice with me, and he's like, I have no idea what coverage we're in pre-snap. And that's what I want. I don't want us to look any different, because I don't want you to have, because if you can't tell, then I know for sure the offensive coordinator is not going to be able to tell. And I think that's the thing with kind of the matching principles within quarters, is that sometimes it looks like you're running quarters, but you're not. Other times it looks like you're running two read, but you're not. It all just depends on what your rules are for that week and that team. I mean, I think that's what the biggest self-scout thing I found this year was, nobody ran 3-by-1 against us. We just didn't see it very often because we were so multiple in it. People didn't really, people didn't know what exactly they were going to get. What were we basing our trips checks off of? So, and for them, they knew if we go 2-by-2, we have an idea of what we're going to get. And so we got a lot more 2-by-2 this year than 3-by-1. I mean, almost astronaut, like almost by like 4 times.
Cody, and looking at your self-scout, what kind of things did you pick up, especially from this past year, 2018, as far as some of the trends you're seeing in RPOs and I guess some brainstorms on, maybe what a defense in general can do against those?
I think we had a unique year. We were really good. We felt like we were really good against the run. Teams felt like if they went spread, they kind of had an understanding of what we were going to do. And so I felt like that was, I feel like we did see teams go a little bit bigger this year than normal, but then weirdly enough, when we would play them, they would go spread. I think the unbalanced trips, two back trips, was kind of the flavor of the year. We saw that a ton this year. And I know, talking from several college coaches, that's something that had popped up. I know I did a study on Michigan State and their, how they defended unbalanced trips. And so Utah State running a ton, and then we went and visited North Texas and they saw it a ton this year. So several colleges that I visited, that's been kind of the big trend this year, is that unbalanced trips. I think more use of Y off sniffer 20 personnel, forcing the defense to put somebody into the box, kind of using the 3-by-1 set of it too, kind of the slot, that trip slot. Are you going to push the box to the sniffer or the slot, or are you going to try and stay in a true two high shell and try and squeeze the box with the nickel or the sand? And I think that's kind of the two trends that I've seen, is that you're seeing more of a kind of more power game. I think everything's kind of equaling out. It used to be everybody wanted to run the 10 personnel spread, and even the spread to run teams were running the 10 personnel spread. Now everybody's kind of looking for that, because everybody's got one. Everybody's got a H-back, sniffer type kid in their program. So I think more and more people are starting to see that and how they can manipulate one-on-one matchups with their slot receiver to the inside.
Yeah, from a personnel standpoint, that guy is a lot easier to find than what you would call your 11 personnel tight end, the guy who's going to be up on the line of scrimmage,
right,
putting his hand in the ground. Those guys, typically you want to be a little bit longer. You want them to be heavier, more, I guess, like in terms of a tackle and being able to block in the box, yet still be able to run down the field. Those guys are hard to come by. They're hard to find. But you find those guys who maybe they lack a little bit of height, but they can, have good leverage against guys, and the blocking game can do a little bit as a hybrid type of fullback receiver and catch the ball a little bit for you too. So I have seen more and more guys starting to do that. We had Adam Gaylor come on DC at Jenks High School in Oklahoma, and he did a coach's note for us, and it's an excellent one. I was looking at it again today, just on 20 personnel run fits. And I think it's something that every defense right now needs to be thinking about.
Yeah. Are they a man blocking team? Do they insert their ISO? Do they run split zone? Do they run the arc? Do they run the arc back the other way? I mean, it's just 20 personnel. I mean, I think it's the toughest one. I mean, I know when I was at Baylor, it was a game changer for us when we started putting the tight end in the backfield. I mean, it forced, with the wide splits and everything, it forced teams to really, defense really had it inside. They were going to have to add somebody back into the box, and then it created one-on-one matchups. So I think more and more spread teams as we go further down the road, I don't think the Y-off stuff's going away. I think the new 21 is going to be 12 personnel with your kind of hybrid tight end is going to be able to line up at receiver, and then your kind of inline tight end is going to be able to get on the ball versus three down teams, and then he'll be off the ball as kind of a slot sniffer type against four down teams. I mean that's what Oklahoma did. I know when I was at Baylor with Briles, that's what they were evolving to.
Well, and it goes to what you and I talked about the last time, or maybe it was the time before, about the need on defense to really be looking at personnel-wise, being able to match those guys, having defenders who are hybrid as well, can play right in the box, can play out in space.
Right. And, I mean, I think that's the key now, is being able to, you know, not necessarily play small ball, but can you get a guy that's fast enough to defend a tight end that can, you know, run a couple routes, you know? And I think that's the thing for offense. You know, you watch some of these offenses with their slot tight end and they're a glorified tackle. They just move them off the ball. I mean, that makes it simple because now you've got three-man routes. Well, I mean, you can defend it. I mean, you can defend three-man routes all day. I mean, that's not the problem. It's being able to create multiple ways of using him as kind of a false key, or get him in a pop pass, or find ways to get him even on like those slip screens, that kind of those flat screens, kind of a modified bubble for your H-back.
Well, Cody, as we look at finishing up a self-scout, and we talked about just different ways you could look at that and put that information together, what part does that play in putting together your install for the next season? I know you guys are going to go into spring ball, so whether that's spring ball install or it's your summer install, what do you do with the information you got in your self-scout?
Yeah, I mean, I think the most important one is the first tape that you should put in is your explosive plays tape, because it's going to show, okay, is there a reason, are we missing tackles because we're not teaching tackling right? Or are we missing tackles? Are we missing fits because our fits are off? Are people running a certain play and we're seeing it every week, and it's because they're either attacking a player or they're attacking the scheme that we're doing? Are our pressures hitting home? Are we creating turnovers off of our pressures? You know, I think all of those things, you know, deep shots, are they, which I consider a pass attempt over 20 yards? Are they attempting deep shots to a certain player? Are we running something? You know, I was with a team we ran like a couple years ago. We ran this blitz, and every time we ran it, it was like the offense got a first down, and it was an explosive play. And so it was like one of the things in the self-scout was like, we need to throw this blitz away. This blitz doesn't need to exist in our call, because every time we run it, people know we're running it because we're doing it out of this personnel package, and they're getting first downs. It's killing us. And so for me, I think that's the thing. And we're all human, so we get predictable. And so we've got to fight predictability by keeping track of the self-scout. What are you doing on third down? You know, what are you doing on third and long, second and long? What are you doing to put pressure on the quarterback? Are teams throwing the ball? Are they doing certain concepts against you to beat your coverage? You know, I think those things right there are important for you when you go into your install for spring or your summer. It's saying, okay, what do we have to get better at? What do we do well? What do we not do well? And what do we need to get better at? And I think that's how you develop your practices, is by saying, okay, we need to really work these skills and we need to get better at that. So that does your indie. And then how, you know, maybe you need to work run fits versus 20 personnel. Okay, how can we create, you know, our inside hole and really focus on fitting up 20 personnel and all the different things that we're going to see? You know, you know, don't chase ghosts. You know, you need to defend what you need to defend. Like for us, we're in the same district next year. We have the exact same schedule. So we're going to work what we're going to see. You know, I can anticipate some different things that we might see, but we're going to go because they have tape of us from last year and they're going to go off of that. And so how can we manipulate it? How can we be different? What can we add? What do we need to subtract? You know, and I think that's all built off of your self-scout that you do in the off season, because you have the time and you have the ability and you just need to do it.
Cody, I know you're always out studying the game. You are coaching track right now, but I'm sure you had the opportunity. And I'm pretty sure I did see on Twitter you were at least out at a couple spring ball practices. Yeah. What's some of the best stuff you saw this spring?
Being able to not necessarily the spring. I was able to get to go to some bowl practices. Being able to see kind of San Diego State, how they do different things. I think that was interesting. I'm always enamored with the odd stack because I grew up in it. I played college in it, and yet I've never messed with it since then. So I'm always kind of interested. I'm obviously understanding it more, and with people interested in the Iowa State stuff that always comes up. Being able to go and visit some of these clinics, listen to Mike Elko and how he defends RPOs, and seeing kind of the defensive turnaround he had, talking to some other coaches that I have friends with that, you know, what are they doing? How are they doing things differently this year? Kind of, you know, the add-ons to what you're seeing in the trends. I think simulated blitzes this year are really big, and being able to study that, I think that's kind of been the biggest thing for me, is how can you develop packages, sub packages within the player, within the system that you have, and being able to implement that. I think it makes it fun for the kids. And I think if you stick with your base blitzes and you develop them into simulated blitzes, you know, and use different personnel groupings and find out who's your best pass rusher and find a way to get him going, and who's your best blitzing linebacker, and how can you do that? I think that to me has been some of the biggest things that I've taken away from this spring, and really just communicating with different coaches. You know, I've kind of had a really fun time this spring. I've learned more this spring than I feel like I ever have in the past couple of years, just really just talking to other coaches about what they're doing, how they're teaching, and how they're structuring their defenses.
Well, Cody, it's always great to catch up with you. I look forward to our next time, next month, and I'm not sure what our topic will be yet, but you always bring some interesting ideas to the table, and I always appreciate you being on the show.
Yeah, I always appreciate it, Keith. You know, you've been friend of Match Quarters and myself for a long time, so I always appreciate you having me on.
And Cody, for our listeners, so they can get your information, share both your website and your Twitter handle.
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter with the handle @the_coach_A. And you can always find any of my content on matchquarters.com. And you can use Match Quarters for YouTube and Instagram as well.
Cody, thanks again, and we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, thank you.
Coaches, for you out there, follow us on Twitter, our new Twitter handle for coaches, @FBDEVCoach, and check out our systems. One I would recommend, especially as you're looking back at your tape, is to get into our advanced tackling system and check out how we grade film and what we can do with that information we gained from last season to make improvements on the field with our tackling in 2019. I promise you, if you dig into that, you won't be disappointed. Check it out at footballdevelopment.com.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.